Turn to Psalms chapter 40. I want you to know something. I have been very honored in my lifetime. I'm a fourth generation child of my parents, my grandparents, great-grandparents, and all those people served the Lord. I'm a Southern Baptist minister's son. I grew up Southern Baptist. My daddy was the secretary for that group for 25 years. I really appreciate him. He's a soul winner. I would rather meet a soul winner than a pew hopper any day. Amen. Anybody can hop pews, but who can win souls? Amen. Most people have a clap in the church, but they don't get it as far as the car going home. This gospel thing is serious. There are millions in our country that are going to hell because you won't tell them about Jesus. You're afraid of their faces. And you have the most awesome power in you that there is. The Holy Ghost is in you. People look at me and because of the stories, the abilities to fight off warlocks. They change themselves into animals. They change into balls of fire. All sorts of phenomena have happened against us. The sissy communists and their guns. None of that stuff is as important as winning souls. My daddy taught me that. And I've seen all these miracles and he's still right. The most important thing you can ever do is win a person to Jesus. I really enjoy raising the dead. It's the most fascinating thing you've ever seen. As far as a human mind, especially an intelligent American mind goes, that's really something. But as far as the kingdom of God goes, souls are our answer. Okay, I want you to understand that from the get-go with me right off the bat that I'm going to be telling you about all kinds of miracles. None of them are my fault. I'm not going to let you give me credit for it. I'm a human being with fears and doubts and things that bother me just like you. Jesus is the perfect one. Okay, let's get everything in order before we start. Is that all right with you? Because you Americans have a way of putting people on a pedestal they don't belong there. You need Jesus there. You need to follow Jesus. And when men make mistakes, you won't care. Because Jesus don't ever fall off the throne. It's an established fact. Amen? Might as well get to know one another right off, hadn't we? I do appreciate my roots and upbringing and all this stuff. I really do. And because of my Bible that my daddy forced down my throat when I was a rebellious punk, I know the Bible. I knew it when I got born again. And I appreciate it. But when the Lord Jesus came into my life and changed me on that airplane that day, I've never been the same. It's really something. But I just want you to know it's his fault. He gets all the credit for everything. Psalms chapter 40 and verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. I've been called of the Lord Jesus all my life. As far back as I can remember, I remember him messing with me. I'm from the South. You have to interpret that every what y'all say up here. But I am a very bold person. Before Jesus, I was very bold for the devil. I never did like hypocrites, and I still don't like them now. Because in my daddy's church, there were as many or more hypocrites as there were real people that loved Jesus. And I've come to find out, it's that way in almost every church I go in now. Saints, we got to learn how to wait patiently for Jesus. I waited for him. And he heard my cry. See, here in America, we have all these equations. We have all this knowledge in our mind. And if it don't go the way we want it to, we get mad. At our leaders, at our God, at everything, we get mad about it. That is demonic. Learn to wait. Be patient. I had to wait 4 years before I had got to see the dead raised once. That bothered me to have to wait that long. Because the Bible is real.
Yeah, right.
These pages we can burn. But the Spirit of the Word of the Lord, you can't burn. I waited patiently for the Lord. Do you know who you are? We're a speck of dust on this earth that don't make a whole hill. It's not a very big hill of beans. You ever notice that? But for the Creator to care. And when we cry out to Him, to listen to us. Because that next verb there, He inclined unto me. In English, that's not a... That word inclined is not the same thing as it is in Spanish. Inclinar in Spanish. That means that God got up out of His throne, walks over, bows His ear down, and puts it right up to, what do you need, son? I am listening to you. That's what it means in Spanish. That's supercharged for me. If my little baby over there, Luis, was in trouble, and I couldn't hear him, and a lion ate him, whose fault is it? It's not his. He was crying to Daddy. It's not the lion's. He was hungry. It's Daddy's fault for not responding to the baby's cry. And I got some news for you. God responds, but you don't wait. He inclines unto us. Verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. This is kind of like a testimonial of what happened to my personal self. Just so I can get to know you. Because I know that everybody sitting in these chairs in here had the same exact thing happen to them. Because it doesn't matter how pretty you are, what color your skin is, how much money you had or didn't have. Whatever you needed, Jesus, and saw your need, and you called out to Him, He responded to you. And every last one of us, regardless of your social strata, was in a horrible pit. But, see, this is super important to me. I'm laying lots of foundation stuff for you. I'm setting you up. If a good preacher, he'll set you up. If I want to move you, I've got to set you up to be moved. And this word right here is the only thing I've found that can really get people. There's a lots of dynamic people that can lie to you and rip you off. But son, this word right here won't lie to you or rip you off. Everything in this word right here is for your good, regardless of how it feels when it comes down the pike the first time. Lots of times it don't feel good. Because our old flesh is stuck out there about a half a mile and we don't like to hear it. But that needs to be beat off us anyway. He brought me us also out of a what? Horrible pit. Out of a what kind of clay? Do you ever sit and think and wonder how come God would even mess with you? What in the world? I know where I was at. I was a nobody doing nothing and going nowhere. But one touch from Jesus, and I'm a somebody doing something, going somewhere. You think I'm not a somebody? Ask the devil. He's afraid of me. I was at a service in Louisiana, just minding my own business, preaching the gospel. Had an altar call. This lady comes up there real nice, dressed up real nice and everything. Right in front of all of our eyes, her whole countenance changes, her head swells up, and this devil talks out of her right to me. I know you, David. Don't cast me out again, please. I'm glad the devil knows me. Because you see, Jesus knew me. He got me out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay. I want you to know, in this next couple of little phrases we're going to be talking about, and all of y'all got y'all's, in America y'all do this, you know, your qualifier antennas are really just a beaming right now to see if you're going to accept me or not. I don't care if you do. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Hey, it's in this book. Whether you like it or not, we're going to live by it. It says he took me out of a miry clay. Then what'd he do? What'd he do to y'all? Come on, y'all think I gotta read everything? Y'all better participate. Best teachers are teaching and get people to participate. I want you to notice. All we've done so far is cried out. Jesus, Father God, has inclined. He's took us out of the pit. He brought us out of the miry clay. And now he sets our feet on a rock. Somebody's getting shortchanged here. We've only done one thing, and he's done lots of things. First thing he did was incline. Then he brought us out of the pit. He brought us out of the miry clay. Now he's done set our feet on the rock. And then what did he do? Do y'all realize me being here tonight is not a coincidental thing? You being here tonight is not a coincidental thing. Son, my feet are established. My ways are established by the Holy Ghost. It's not perchance. Oh, well, let's pray about having him. I'm going to tell you something. If God wants it, it's coming to pass. You can get mad and leave. But what God wants is going to come to pass. You should read Isaiah 29 sometime. Maybe I'll preach that to you one day. Talks about people that have lip service and eye service, but they don't have no heart service. And it says right in the next phrase, but I will proceed anyway. You go ahead and be a false person sitting there in hypocrisy. You're not going to stop the flow of the Holy Ghost. God will proceed. Son, he done brought me out of a horrible pit. He done, look, you understand, God is pure perfection. And he went in that muck and mire and all that mess I was in. And he got me and ripped me off from the devil. Set my feet on a rock, and now he did better than that. After the best thing he could ever do to me was save me. And then he said, clear out, demons. I'm making a way for this boy. Amen. He's established my goings. Do you understand that? Amen. My way. God is perfecting my way. Lots of times my way leads across some bumpy roads. But it doesn't matter. I love wherever God's will is. I'm perfectly fine. It doesn't matter if it's in the middle of a river freezing and raging. It don't matter if it's in Guatemala on 7,800 feet and terrorist guns are slapping you in the face and they're laughing how stupid you are to let them catch you. It doesn't matter. If I'm obedient to the holy calling and I have bathed what I'm doing in fasting and prayer and I've meditated on that Bible, no devil can stop us. It don't matter what it looks like right now. It matters what happens in a minute. Verse 3. Now, I'm setting y'all up, and this is good. Look at all the things God did. I mean, look how much stuff you can dig out of one little couple of verses. Have y'all noticed that? Just sit there and keep scratching. It'll come up in a minute. Look at verse 3. What did he do next? He put a song in my mouth. Man, by the way, some nothing most. Christians, look. They had green persimmons instead of the Holy Ghost for lunch. Looking at me sour don't make you holy. That makes you unhappy. Man, I got a song. Do you understand who gave it to me? Jesus did. So what you do don't matter. You can sing with me, or you can throw rocks at me. It's not going to change my song. I've proved mine. Can I come out of this coat? Y'all done seen it anyway. That's all it's supposed to be for. It definitely ain't for keeping you warm, boy. I was just out there in that cold. I had to put an overcoat on. It's just so y'all can say, wow, what a nice suit. You Americans and y'all's trivial stuff, boy. It's amazing. I even put some mousse in my hair for you. That's the funniest looking foamy stuff I ever saw. Well, y'all come on putting that stuff in y'all's hair for me, and that's ridiculous. Does it make me more holy because I got some mousse in my hair? Let me ask y'all something, and I would like for you to think about this and be honest. Is it all right with God if we are holy people and are sincere, committed, faithful, but are happy? I bet you I'll take the first bullet if somebody walks through the door. I'll fight you for it. But son, I got a song to sing too. And it's Jesus, and it's joy and peace and happiness. Look at here. He put a new song in where? In your mouth. What else did he do? Even the praise unto our God. Now, see, the rest of this verse is really important because, you see, God's done a whole bunch of things. He inclined to you. He listened to you. He took you out of the pit. He took you out of the clay. He put your feet on a rock. He set up there all your walking and goings and runs around. He put a new song in your heart and your mouth so you can praise Him. And all He wants you to do is sing it. See, look at this. Many shall see it. What are they going to see? Your established way, possibly, if you last long enough. What are they going to see? Are they going to see how God brought you out of that pit? No, they're not. You were the only one that was there. You and Jesus. Are they going to see that clay and mire and muck and sin and disease and violence and perverted sex and drunkenness that you was in? No. They're not going to see that. What are they going to see? The song. It's the song we've got to sing. We're so busy being holy that we're forgetting to sing our song. Nations are waiting on our song. Nations. But what about this? Do you know there's more? Or at least as many what ifs and yeah buts in the kingdom of God as there are in the world. That's why these nations are not born again yet. What if I make a mistake? Darling, you go make a mistake. Yeah, but what if I... Oh, no. You're going to do it all. Listen, you're a human. I'm going to be like Jesus. In Jesus' name, you're going to see a perfect human. But I apologize. I'm not there yet. But I know how to sing my song. I know how to dance and worship Jesus in the middle of calamity. Anybody can sing when they got $1 million in their pocket and their wife's not mad at them and their house is paid off. Anybody can. That's easy. I want to make an apology to you. I'm not a perspirer. I'm a sweater. So I have to have a sweat remover. Lots of people perspire. I don't. Like I said, I come from the oil field. It's a rough cut out there. This is so important to me, for you to realize that we are the same, you and I. I like Burger King, you probably like McDonald's. It don't make any difference. We both like the sandwich, probably. The idea is to sing the song. Do you know what? I found out. Please, look, I don't want to make anything light, okay? But this is funny. I'm not a joker. I'm really not. I'm in the McDonald's store, waiting in line like everybody else, that little zigzag thing's there. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. We've got a long ways to travel, and I won't, you know, so I just start praying, you know, praise God, Kalabasho, Kalabasho, start doing a little that. And all of a sudden, everybody's looking at you. You know what? Those worldly people have a lot of respect for the Holy Ghost, son. They move and let you go right up to the front of the line. They do. They really do. That's happened to me a couple of times. Start singing your song and you'll see. Boy, you really are crazy. Yeah, to the world. And to somebody that's fearful of the world, yes. But to God's people, we're all nuts anyway, so if we really turned on to Jesus. You know, like, boy, we come up here from them third world countries. You know, I'm a fighter. Seriously, before I got born again, I was part of a gang, and buddy, we were fairly good fighters. I still work out here almost every day of my life now, still, and say I'm in excellent shape, and that's one of the things that happened to us in Mexico. They thought I was CIA because of all the good condition of our bodies and stuff. But you know, I went to come out of Mexico once, and my wife and all my kids were all there, and we have several other ladies that work in our ministry that work with us, and we went to the Kmart store, I think. And we went to that store. It is the first store we went in since we was back in the United States. All God wants is for you to sing your song. But you walk in that Kmart store after being in the jungle for a year or so, everything is in order. Mail's good in that store. Ain't no flies. Ain't no bugs biting you on the legs. You're walking down through there, but there's a different kind of conflict in America. It's called gangs. And I'm out there, and I'm used to communists and, you know, and irate Catholics that want to kill us all the time, and I'm used to that stuff. But I'm not used to somebody coming here and following me around and looking at my wife. I don't like that. Y'all see that little lady in the red right over there? Don't touch her. That'll be a serious mistake. You'll think I'm demon possessed, but I'm not. I'm protecting the best thing besides Jesus in my life. And I'm walking down through there, and I told Miss Hogan, let's go to the sporting goods store. Let's go. I see the sign right over there. She said, nothing doing. Let's go to the woman's department there where all that powder and junk is. I said, no way, son. Sporting goods is number one, baby. She said, no, let's go over here first, and I'll go over there. I said, that's a deal. Went over there, and I tell you, I got no business over there running all them powders and sprays and stuff. All them shampoos, 14,000 different kinds. Well, these kids followed us over there. Boy, my feathers get ruffled easy. And they was looking at my wife and them other ladies that was there. I didn't like that. So I turned around and squared off with them. It was only six or seven of them. That's not enough. See, it depends on your mentality. The devil's a liar, son. Do you understand that? And here he come after my family. So I'm sitting here thinking, Alberto VO5 will be a good lunch for them boys. And the Holy Ghost speaks to me, because I'm telling you, my neck was red, real red. And the Holy Ghost said, speak in tongues at him. Have y'all ever been in that kind of a situation? You don't like to listen to God when that kind of stuff's going on. I don't know what y'all expected, but I'm a normal person. But abnormal things happen around me because of Jesus. So instead of feeding him the Albertoville 5, I did what the Holy Ghost said. I just started walking slowly towards them. Calabashete, leke, talabala, dala, lao! Son, them seven little old, well, young men, son, they tore up them aisles getting out of there. And I was following them. And it's over at the front door. What'd he say? I don't know. Wow, they're gone. Tongues are a sign for the unbeliever. Did you notice that? Y'all's Bible ever said that before? Y'all ever read that in y'all's Bible? It says it right in the Bible. Listen, they're for edification, but they're also for a weapon against the devil. Use them. God established your goings. Sing your song. Sing your song. You people, listen to me. Sing your song. Let's go to Matthew. I'm going to show you how I sing mine. It's probably different than any way you've ever heard. But I take it as commandment from Jesus. And that's what I do. I admit to you something. Matthew chapter 10. And I want to admit something to you. I got so many miracles written out here. I tell you, I'm just going to set them up here. So many things have happened. I'm going to tell you something that you're going to probably, I don't know what you're going to say about it, but I don't, like I said, I don't care too much. I really do care about you, but I don't care what you think. Oh boy, look at all this stuff. So I'm going to try to do my best in the next couple of hours. Amen. I meant including tomorrow. You know what? I was in a service in Mexico one time, and that thing went on all night. I was so tired. But God never gets tired. He loves His people to praise Him. Show me something. I believe you probably are better qualified than I am. That's how I perceive other people. To do this job that I'm doing, I believe you're probably better qualified than I am. It's just that you won't go. I've been out there for 15 years, hiked thousands of miles in the mountains. Our work, I got a real nice, well, I just gave it away, but I had a real nice one-ton four-wheel drive, 7.3-liter diesel, potted traction rear end, five-power gears, Ford. Baddest thing I've ever owned as far as the diesel. I carried 52 engines in the back of that thing one time. That thing will haul some engines. We work with 18 tribes of people. I can speak very good Nahuatl, which is Aztec language. My son can also. Very good, so I'm fluent in Spanish. I speak Spanish better than I do English, as you've been able to tell by my grammar. God has blessed me. You got to understand, now please, this stuff is God's fault. That truck He bought me on the cross, so I can bring the gospel to them people. He's going to get me another truck. And another one when that wears out. Right now, my son and myself both have XR600 Hondas. Anybody know what that is? The baddest four-stroke motorcycle there is right now. That thing will get it. It's fun to me to ride to service on my motorcycle. It's really a time when I can be alone and got plenty of power. You know, I believe this. I believe there is no substitute in any situation for power.
Amen.
In any situation. Power is your answer. And I'm fixing to prove it in a minute. God has really blessed us. We've got a nice van out here. That's for riding around up here on these nicer roads that y'all got in the United States. That van is our home when we come on itineration. We live in that thing. And I'm blessed to have that. We have an office in South Texas. I'm from Louisiana, but we have an office in South Texas. Several acres of land, I think it's about 9 or 10, 11, something like that. And we have down there a computer give to us. And some nice places, if y'all ever passing through there, you can come there and stay free. I don't charge anybody to stay there because Jesus gave it to me free. To us free. Our ministry. And if we got food, you'll eat. We don't, we'll fast. Most of y'all could stand a little fasting anyway. Paul said, I beat my flesh, he said. I better stop there. I'm liable to get in trouble with that one. Especially in America. But we're blessed. I have an airplane. I'm a pilot. We're blessed. All of it's because of Jesus. Look here in Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to leave all the heavy revelations to your pastors and teachers here. My job is to excite you and to bring you to the field with me. I'll never ask you for money, and I'll never ask you for your time. But the Holy Ghost may ask you for both. Now look here in Matthew 10. Now I want you to participate with me. Because see, I really don't want to get into very many numbers with you because, like I said, I don't want you lifting me up at all. It's not my fault. None of it is Jesus's. God blessed us with several hundred churches that we've had the privilege to start in the last 15 years. In our entire ministry, we have work in Yugoslavia. We have two churches in Yugoslavia. That's in Europe. How in the world would a ministry like ours be doing over in Europe? Well, that's too bad. Well, ask God, I said. Don't ask me. Mexico is where our most churches are. We've got over 300 churches in Mexico that God's let us start. It's a privilege to start it. I like it. I like to go where there's never been any gospel before. I don't like to go where there's gospel before. I like to go where they shoot at you. Where they stone you regularly. Where they whip you with machetes. And this year they killed two of our pastors. Chopped them up in little bitty pieces. I enjoy going to people that have never heard about Jesus. Because I'm not going to stand before God and Him ask me why. Well, I'm going to get out of God. Good job, boy. Come on. I'm having that. Whether you like the way I look, whether you like the way I wear my cowboy boots or not, that's not going to change what I'm going to get from God. There is no cost too great to get those words spoken to me. I was riding to service one day on my horse. There's thousands of threats. Daily we get threats on my life. White boy, go home. Protestant, go home. Capitalist, go home. But I don't listen to those words. Because Jesus said, go ye. He didn't tell me, sit ye and wait. He said, go ye. That's what Jesus said. This nation needs you, machinery of the Holy Ghost. If you think you're not a machine, it's because you haven't read Isaiah 40 and 41 yet. We are a new threshing instrument. Guess what? Having teeth. I'm on my horse, good little boy, going to church, got my backpack on, going down the road on my nice little horse. Happy March. Not real hot yet, thank you, Jesus. It's not 125 in the shade yet. Jungle, I work in the jungle. Monsoon, 7 months out of the year. And then, something hit me right here on the corner of my eye. I've never been hit that hard before. Hopefully I'll never get hit that hard since. It was a bullet. The devil said he won't listen, so let's kill him. Boom. The only time I've ever been knocked out was that time. I remember hitting the rump, flying in the air, hitting the rump of the horse on my way back. And my skull twisted, and then I went out. The reason I was shot, church, is because there are 3 million Indians in a 150-mile square section of territory in Mexico that have never heard about Jesus. And I'm going to tell them, they can't kill me. Brother Hogan, I'm not sure about that theologically. You get yourself on your horse and follow me and hush then. And let's prove it. Let's see whose theology holds up. I don't want to talk about it in this controlled climate here. Let's talk about it down here in a nation that have been serving witches all their life for thousands of millenniums. You hear me? There's no gospel witness. None. Except you. And if they can kill you, then what you had wasn't real, is it? When you told them they can't. They can't kill me. I woke up, couldn't see out of this eye, didn't know it was clotted blood all in it. My head was ringing, I couldn't stand up. I'd stand up and fall back down because the equilibrium was gone. The bullet hit this bone on the corner of my eye and glanced. Had it hit 1/8 or so of an inch this way, it would have went in my eye. Or 1/8 of an inch the other way, it would have went in my temple. But it didn't. You say, well, why did they shoot it in the first place? I don't care. You split your own church over that. I care. I care that they missed. Boy, y'all, something else. You'd rather split a church than anything. But help somebody that's going to hell, you don't want to do that. I disagree with you. Church, my ways are established, says so in Psalm 40. Bullets may hit me, but they ain't going in my eyeball and killing me. A friend came by on the road and those big puddles of blood, and I finally got this eye cleaned out. I thought it was, thought my eyeball was gone. It wasn't. Thank you, Jesus. And I was able to clean it up and clean it up, and finally I got to where I could see blurredly, but I could see, thank God. And I made my way down to the road. They got me, brought me home. I'm leaking all over his truck. Go stumbling in my house, lean up against the wall, leaking all over Miss Hogan's nice clean floor. And I said, I'm sorry. They didn't miss this time. She brought me in there, didn't say a word. Patched me up. My boy was younger. I sent him out to the same service with some Americans. He interpreted for them. The idea is, at the time, that was my first service to ever miss. Because of any kind of incidents or problems, I have never missed service. I don't like it. I think it's demonic to miss church. It's got to go where the fire's at, honey, and get you some of it. That keeps you burning. Keeps you moving. This is really good because all the services were covered. I mean, God knows what to do. I was in the morning time, and I laid on that bed for 10 hours, ice packs, my headache, Lord. Man, it was rough. And that evening, Jesus walked in. Like I said, I don't know about your theology. I just know about what I read in my Bible. He walks over. There wasn't any lightning bolts. There wasn't any writings on the wall, angelic voices. There was a touch on the side of my head. I was healed. Man! What a God! Man, I love Jesus. He got me a night off with Miss Hogan alone. Yeah. That's something I appreciate now. Amen. That's really something. Y'all tired of this yet? Well, we're going to go into something else now. I've been setting y'all up for this. And I'm going to try my best to not give you over an hour and a half of it, because y'all don't know if you can take it. I've been going for 50 minutes. Matthew 10, verse 7. What is the fourth word in that? In that verse? In the King James, anyway. It's go. I finally recognize and realize after all these years that all of y'all's not called to Mexico. Yeah. This section is over here. These people back here are going to go to Guatemala with us. This whole section can go to Bolivia. Y'all can have Paraguay, and y'all can have Peru. Y'all can keep America. Yeah. But the idea that Jesus is back in here, because there's so much argument, and it's argument, that it's somebody else's ministry, Brother Hogan. No, it's not. You can't jump out on me. Amen. I wanted to make my money in all field too. Jesus said, go. So who do you listen to, the money or God? What's the fifth word? Brother Hogan, I'm not a preacher. See, there I got you. Hold on a minute. Son, I've read my Bible. You messed up and let me read my Bible, see? Y'all should have taught me several languages and how to read them. Now I know how to read and understand this stuff in a few languages, and it all says the same in all of them. It don't say it like you want it to say. It says it like God wanted to say it. And that is, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Every last person in this room has that. It may not be to Guatemala, Peru, or Bolivia, or Paraguay. It may be the U.S., but the idea here is to go and preach it. Sing your song. Sing it. As you go, what you going to do? Y'all stay with me on this. I'm going to say it 1,000 times or less. What you going to preach? Your church? No, sir. You don't preach Freedom Ministries or Faith Assembly. You preach Jesus. You preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what you preach. You know why you preach that? Because I said to? No, sir. Because Jesus said to right there in that Bible. Amen. Not because I said to, but because Jesus did. See, y'all done got me wound up now. I'm starting to preach at you, son. This is the gospel. It's called the gospel. As you do what? Nope. You got to do something before you preach. What is it? Go. See, y'all don't understand that word yet. I'm going to have to go back over this so you can get that go in your heart. See, everybody wants to raise the dead. But son, you can't raise the dead till you go somewhere to do it. And me preaching in America, I get to do it all the time in churches. Verse 7. As you do what? Go. Finally, you heard me. As you go, what you going to do? What you going to tell them? That's right. Are y'all going to answer me that every time I ask you now? I hope so, because I'm going to get radical if you don't. All right, after you've gone, after you've preached, after you've told them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what you going to do then? That's the first thing you're going to do is heal the sick. You know how come you can't heal the sick? Because you're too chicken to open your mouth and tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand now. That's why you can't heal the sick. That's why I can, because I'm not afraid. I fear God, not your face. You ask them terrorists if that's not, they're afraid of us. It's not because of us, it's because of what's in us. It's called the zeal of His house has consumed us. I'm not afraid of their guns. They don't feel good. It hurts bad. I don't like dropping blood all over the place. But you know what I'd rather have? I'd rather have my blood spilled than the Father God say, you go with the ghost. My blood's worth it to say, Well done, son. Come in. My son's blood's worth it. My wife's blood's worth it. You hear me? As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick. What else are you going to do when you get out there? What else? What else? What else? Why? You know what? None of y'all have paid anything for the gospel. There's not one person here can prove to me that you have paid one penny for the gospel. But I can prove to you that Jesus paid it with His blood. He paid it with His life. My job and your job, after we have God has inclined His ear. He's picked us up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set our feet on a rock. He established our going. He put the new song in our mouth. It's our job to sing that song, baby. And it's here's how you sing it, by going and doing the gospel. Listen, I didn't start out one day to be a radical person and change mission work and change people's outlook on Christendom. I didn't do that. All I did was find the Indian that needed Jesus. He said, we've got marriage, she don't work. We got the witch doctor and he don't work, he charges for too many chickens. I said, well, if Jesus, the Lord God I've got, don't charge. He done it free. God freely murdered His Son so you could be free. God freely raised Him from the dead so we can be filled with that resurrection power.
Amen.
So we can go. So we can tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, it's really important to me. I have no idea. This is my first time to meet you all. So I don't know what you think or believe. I got the advantage on you. It's important to me that you do things like they show up in the Bible.
Right.
It's important to go. It's important once you've gotten there to do what He said and preach the gospel. It's important that once that's done, that you do what next steps are, which is heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse lepers. Because it's freely given, do it the same way you received it. I was on my way to church one night. Do you realize that I am in total order here? It says, as you go, I was going. There was a man standing on the side of the road doing this. I stopped my truck, got out of that big old four-wheel drive, walked around there, what do you want? I heard you can heal the sick. I said, you heard wrong. He said, what? Aren't you that American that lives in Benito Juarez? I said, yes, sir, that's me. He said, well, you got the right truck. He said, you look like the same right person. I said, you got the right man. But the healer is Jesus, not me.
Yeah.
Well, where is this Jesus? He's with me. What do you need?
Yeah.
Come over here. And I walked over there off that trail. My Lord, what does the Bible say? It says to heal the sick. There was a man hid in the bushes. His head was covered down around his shoulders. And I'm saying, hey, what's wrong with you? Stand up. Because I'm really a fiery type person.
Yeah.
And I said, get up. He just kept that cloth and he was on his knees. And I said, I'm nothing but a man. You don't have to kneel to me. Stand up. He stayed down there. I took that cloth and threw it off. My God, and I threw it back on. There was no head there. There was a sore there. There was pus and drip and goo and blood. There was cancer. Had eaten his neck and face up. I said, what do you want, man? He said, I've been told that your God can run this devil off. I said, whoever told you that told you the truth. If you'll bow your knee to Jesus, He will heal that mess or I'll let you light my Bible on fire. And I'll never preach to you again. He said, what do I have to do to be saved? I said, it's found right over here in Acts. So I led him to Jesus. So now then, you see, right on the top of his head, there was a dry spot. So you touch one finger, so you won't get that infection on you, see. So what you do is you grab him by what hair was left, and you stick your hand down in that ooze. And you say, ooze, the Lord Jesus rebuke you. I curse you by the glory of the cross. The holiness of Jesus stands against you. The power of the resurrection is against you. You walk back over your truck, wiping the ooze off. And then you say, and all of a sudden there's a tap on the window. What? They climb up in a truck and they went to church with you.
Amen.
2 weeks later, you go back to church. There's a new face there.
Yeah.
You say, Pastor, who is that man? Oh, Brother Hogan, you know him. This happens to me hundreds of times. I don't know him. Because I saw them one way, and they come another way back.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
This is the man that had cancer, Brother Hogan. And I walk over there, and I'm touching all over his head and neck and everywhere, because he's got new skin. Thank you, Jesus. As you do what? Oh, boy, y'all are waking up. What's he going to do after you go? What are you going to preach? And then what are you going to do? Wow, y'all are really catching on. This is a good crowd. It's really not taking you very long to catch this. Just an hour. I like participation. Because when you start flowing in the Holy Ghost, I was down in Arkansas. It's down from here to Arkansas. And this little old lady, I don't remember what I was preaching on, but I was just talking about Jesus and his ability. And she starts going, ah! Right in church, right in service. And everybody's looking at her. And I said, come here, Grandma. What's wrong with you? The cataracts. I said, what about them? They're gone. Hey, you may not like me to dance. That's all right. You didn't put the stamp in my feet. Hallelujah. You might not like my pretty smile. You didn't give it to me. You didn't give me the song. You can't take none of that stuff away from me by your religious looks. Freedom is great. As long as I don't use it against you maliciously, I can use it. I can be free in the Holy Ghost to walk in His power. And to sing His praises. Y'all ever read in y'all's Bible and Sunday's preaching's good? Y'all ever read in y'all's Bible in Psalms 149? It says, with the high praises of God in my what? And what else in my hand? What's that sword for? To tell everybody, look at me, I'm really something, I'm carrying a sword. No, sir. That sword is to go after the devil.
I was sitting there thinking this morning. Thank y'all for that little hotel room. We appreciate it, my family and I. You know, there's a thing called respect. I thank you, people. It's not just something I'm saying to try to soften you up for any reason. Because I'm gonna go do my work, and you're gonna do your thing, and whether you do anything or not, I'm gonna go do my work. I and my family appreciate you allowing us here. We really do. And we appreciate you taking care of us. That was great people last night. Thank you. Seriously. My kids love people. How do you see? Here in the Bible, there's something going on, okay? In America, I'm an American, hadn't been here and lived here and going on 16 years now, but I am an American. I'm very proud to be an American. My uncles died in World War II. My cousins, older cousins in our family have been in Korea, other family members in Vietnam, and my grandpa went to World War I, and I really appreciate the blood that was spilled for our freedom. And I thank God for it. But there's something going on, Saint, that is not good. The American church is allowing the devil to take over this freedom country. And I don't like that. Do you realize that you expect me as a missionary to have wild stories? You do. You expect me, if I'm going to come here from a foreign country, to really be dynamic. Well, guess what, free America? I expect you to stay free. And to guard that freedom through prayer and fasting and militant ideas. To keep our freedom. I'm going to stay in Mexico regardless of what happens up here. The Mexican people allow me to immigrate down there. I'm now a Mexican immigrant. So I have dual citizenship. And I expect you not to take advantage of your freedom. I'm going to talk about some things that are fairly serious today. I talked about some things that were fairly serious last night, but the light's going to get a little brighter today. And a little brighter tonight. Just going to see what gauge you can handle. Let's just go on and test the water. I work out physically almost every day of my life. And I really enjoy seeing capacity and seeing what I can do and how I can push my body and push my spirit and push my mental capacity. And I like challenging other people to the same thing. Here in John chapter 3 and verse 16, have y'all ever read that before? The gospel is not an introverted gospel. God wants us looking to the world. It's not us four no more, honey. There's a family of God out here. And we must realize that. It says right in my Bible, God so loved the world. Who is God? Other than our supreme authority. There is no dickering with God. There is no challenging His authority. He's a dictator. And I got some news for you Americans. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. It doesn't say, for God in America so loved the world. It says, for God so loved the world. Listen, I've got a 19-year-old son. I'm not going to hang him on a tree for you. I don't love you that much. If you can challenge that, hang yours up there and I'll listen. But God did that. The whole reasoning for creating man was to worship Him. And when that went sour through sin, God got a plan. God decided there's only one thing that men understand, and that's giving a supreme sacrifice. You can't outgive what God gave. It's impossible. I've had my son in villages with me when he was small. Defenseless. The village would rise up against us and come after us with machetes, ropes, rocks, clubs, guns.
And I'm willing to die for the gospel. Proven it several times. But I'm not willing to let my son die over stupidity. If you're going to kill me for the gospel, I'm willing to die. If you're going to kill my son because he's an American, you're going to die. Brother Hogan, I don't like that. Well, let them kill your son. That's fine. They're not killing mine. We must understand, saints, the importance of our families. We're allowing respect to dwindle to nothing. Our kids here, you don't run them anymore. They run you. God loves this world, and it includes our families. It includes our entire church body, our community, our state, our nation, but other nations also. It says it right in my Bible, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him, they won't perish, but they'll have eternal life. I've got that, thank you, Jesus. I'm secure that I have that. I'm very confident. Have you noticed that? Lots of people say, you're not confident, you're prideful. Call it what you want to, but let's go dodge some bullets together and you'll see what the difference is. There's a difference in pride than confidence. I want to get a little bit serious with you, if that's okay. 1 John chapter 2. Last night, I considered myself with a reason for what I preached. The things I said, trying to move you spiritually, emotionally, to let me touch you with my hand. Because I know what God's going to do if I have the opportunity to touch you. Here in America, it takes God and a bulldozer to push you down front to the altar. Where I work, you don't even have to preach. You just get up there and say, Jesus loves you. That's the end of the sermon. They all come. They don't know you. They don't know what you believe. They don't know how you think. You're an American. You're odd to them. They're after power from Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I just read to you, for God so loved the world. Now I'm going to read something to you. That's almost contrary to what I read the first in John 3:16. And now it says, love not the world. We're talking about two entirely different kinds of love here. We're talking about a love for the world because we want to see them all born again. And we're talking about a love of the world that gets you and drags you back to hell. The problem I see in American churches is you're trying to play between the two. You can't. You're different. You're peculiar. You're strange. You're out of the ordinary. You are not of this world. You're a pilgrim. You're just passing through. Quit trying to get along with this devil of this world. Babylon is engulfing you, church. Most of you are in debt so deep you don't know what to do. If God did tell you to go to the mission field, you couldn't. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Things that are in the world. It's not sin to have a car or a suit or a house That's not sin. It's sin to let those things have you. I've got a nice airplane, but it don't have me. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, if any man, this includes you and I, Christians, love the world. The love that God had for God so loved the world is not in that person. I don't care how much you try to convince me, you can't. Because that's Bible, buddy, and you're wrong. It's not wrong to carry a semi-tractor trailer load full of $1,000 bills around behind you. It's wrong for them to carry you. Everything you have and possess should be for the furtherance of the gospel. I buy my wife a dress whenever I can. She looks nice. It's not sin for her to look nice. It's sin for her to flaunt that niceness. There's a difference I'm talking about today, American church. And our mind has got to have the difference. Our spirit has got to have the difference. Our attitude must entertain the difference. Our lifestyle must know the difference. Or the next thing I know, they'll have you on 2020. Or prime time or whatever. Verse 16, for all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. The world's going to pass, and these lusts that so easily drag you away from God, they're going to pass. Can't you realize that? This black suit I've got on, baby, she's going to burn. Thank God, I'll be glad when it does. I'll forget that statement that came in my mind. The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he, saints, this is the part I want right here. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Boy, that's a long time. My goodness. You know, when the Bible speaks, you know, like of these men that live 100 years, 200 years, and 300, 400, 500, way back in the beginning, and then the Bible talks of it's just nothing more than a wisp. It's nothing but a mist that appears and the sun comes and burns it off, or a flower. It has it's beautiful for a moment, then it fades. And boy, and we think we're something, and we strut around like a bunch of peacocks. Listen to me. We're nothing without Jesus. Who do you think you are? Well, let's go to Ezra and look at something really serious. You know, I really get scared when preachers start going to that Old Testament and starting getting them prophets and stuff. That means there's fixing to be some swords flying around and some cutting's going to take place. Where is that book anyway? It's in here somewhere. Ezra chapter 9. It's on page 772. I'm a very serious fella. And because of the fun I have, people take me wrong a lot of times. But up here in America, I'm a different fella than I am in my work. In my work, I turn into a colonel. I turn into a drill sergeant. I turn into a person that you're afraid of. You come there and you'll see. I love you, church. Let's let you know that. Ezra chapter 9, verse 5. You read this thing, and you make sure I'm not bringing this out of context. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I got some other things I want to read to you. At the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my fasting, heaviness, sorrow of spirit. Fasting, church, is a new thing God wants to do. It's bound to be a new thing because nobody does it up here. We spend more time at the donut shop than we do on our knees and fasting and prayer. More time behind the coffee counter than we do fasting and prayer. The reason you don't have power is because you won't fast and pray. You won't go to Jesus His way. The Holy Ghost wants us submitted His way. Not the American way. Not the ways of the denominational barriers. God wants us submitted to His Word. To His authority. To His Spirit. Fasting is one of the tools that gets us there. At the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my clothes, tore them off, my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. This is also a new thing. Rending ourselves to the Father God with a purpose other than our own. God, you seen my checkbook lately? You must have forgot about me, God. Oh, God, I'm such a worm, God. The body needs us to be spiritual. The church needs powerful men of God, not wimps. Not people to be ashamed of. They need us to stand upright and stand for righteousness and say no to the devil. But we've got to know the devil, saints. And he said this, oh my God, and this is the way I feel about the American church. If this offends you, I make no apologies. I go down and I spend a couple of years at the time on the field. I have little or no contact with America. Every time I've ever come back, you've got more decadent than before. You're worse than before. You're not better. What's wrong? I'm rebuking you this morning. I'm challenging you. I'm correcting. I'm admonishing us to go on. Have you looked at the great moves of God in the last few centuries? Y'all know them a lot better than I do. Y'all are gluttons of teaching. Y'all need to be up here preaching, and I need to be listening to every one of you. All I know is Jesus. That's all I know. But when I come back and I look, there are things happening that are good. But for the most part, the church is regressing. Denominational walls are higher, stronger, more fortified. You can't penetrate them. And if you don't have the right haircut and the right suit and say the right terminology, you're not going to get in with them. And that's sin. And I'm ashamed of you, America. And I blush to lift up my face to God because of you. And I love you so much. I love this nation. I love you, America. But you're wrong. And I'm not ashamed to tell you. You want power without paying the price. You want God to move for you because of where you're from. Honey, you can forget that junk. God's going to move for you because of where you went. That's to Him and on your face. He's not going to move for you. You think God blesses me because of my daddy and grandma? He blesses me because of my time I spend telling Him, I love you, Father God. Pouring out my life and my sweat to Him. And rending myself to it. It's not because I mean I'm nothing more than an oil field worker he decided to use. Wasn't the top paying executive a white collar worker of America. But what I've seen in the last few years, and what I've traveled a lot now in America, our work's growing up here. I'm ashamed, and I'm embarrassed, and I blush to lift up my face to you, oh my God, for our sins and our iniquities are increased over our heads, and our trespasses is grown up into the heavens. You think God don't see you in your most intimate time alone? You think God don't know you when you get away from this church? What you do at this church is nothing. It's what you do outside the church that is something. You can fool me easy. I am very easily deceived for a season. God is not. Go with me to Psalms chapter 18, please. I believe I found us a way out of this mess. I went in this village, and it was an amazing village. That's better. And there was a man come up to me, and he said, "What's that paper you're handing out?" I was passing out tracts. I said, "It's a little piece of paper. It's free. It's about the gospel of the Lord Jesus." He said, "I've heard it. You come with me." Serious with Jesus. Serious meditation and prayer and fasting and reading the Word of God and staying stable in the Word and staying there and staying there and keep fighting and keep fighting regardless of what happens. It'll start working for you. Patiently I waited on the Lord. Patiently. It says, "As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead." I'm going to tell you about just that one little thing, and then we're going to stop. Because I never did use none of these little notes in the first place. We've got to do all these miracles sometime. Just things that came into my mind I was talking about. So many things. Broken bones, snake bites. Getting stoned and people's heads getting, top of their heads getting knocked off. You just touch your head, it gets healed. Whew. Woman falls out of the back of my truck is about over 6 foot tall and she was climbing up there to get her a seat on my toolbox. She got a baby and there's going to be 50 Indians and she wants a good seat. But the dew fell while we was having church and she didn't take that into consideration. She slips with a baby on her back. She's trying not to fall on the baby. She turns, puts her arm down, but there's a 3 foot ditch sitting there. She hits. Both bones come out. And I go running around. Heard the groans of pain. Heard the people ooh and ah like y'all just did. I go running around there, fought my way through the crowd. And this lady's one of the from another church up the road. Blood's everywhere. You lay that arm in your hand. And you say, "Arm, listen to the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name be healed." And you get to watch those bones. Me and those Indians are sitting there. Eyes are big as that arm moves, goes back into place and covers up healed. Amen. Man, what a God. He's worthy, I tell you. He needs your violent praise. He needs your adoration and your commitment and faithfulness. Jesus needs your love. He wants your love. I went to service, and this is going to close it, and we're going to pray. I'm going to close this book so I won't see no more miracles. I went to service one afternoon, because the Bible says, "As you go, preach." Amen. So I went. Just like I did coming up here tonight. Go from Louisiana up here to preach to you. Yeah. Nobody has said anything to me about money. I haven't said anything to them about money. That's what's good about it. That's what's gospel about it. I don't need retainer. I need Jesus.
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Amen.
Man. Well, you need money to function your ministry. So what? You need something to eat too.
That's right.
It was so much fun. I got out of my truck, going to preach. Little Indian taps me on the shoulder. Sir, what can I do for you? My baby's dying. Come pray. Because they're all over for hundreds of miles. I'm telling you, they come from all over the place to get us to pray for them. It's amazing the fame of Jesus in that area. Thousands of miracles, any kind of thing you can think of. Then this man says, you got to come pray for my baby. I said, sir, not right now. I got to go preach first. See, heal the sick is out of order. You go preach first, then you go heal the sick. Says it right in the Bible. So that's what I did. But me, a nut like I am, I forgot about his little sick boy. But that man sat calmly through service. We had some good miracles. We had some people saved. It was good service. And he never said a word. And there's no electricity, no running water. So I got my little old water jug and my little old lantern. I'm putting everything together, putting in my backpack and getting ready to leave. Brother Hogan, sir, you're not going to pray for my baby? Man, I'm sorry. I apologize. So I lit my lantern back up, got my backpack, walked with him, went through the jungle, started hearing a scream off in the distance. Boy, this is sad, 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 sad. Closer I got, the louder the scream was, it was a mama screaming. Daddy disappeared into that hut where the screaming was, comes back out, points his finger in my face. See, this is why your face don't bother me. This is why your theology has no bearing on me whatsoever.
Amen.
If you got new revelation, let's talk. Son, I'm not going to be sold out to some religious devil. I'm just not going to do it. No siree. You know why? Because that man pointed his finger in my face. He didn't point it in your face. He didn't point it in your face. I was the one standing there. He said, now my baby boy is dead and you going to do something about it.
Yeah.
What in the world can you do about it? Well, have y'all ever been to the... Uh-oh, here I go. Y'all ever been to the Christian bookstore before?
Yeah.
7 ways to be healed. 7 steps to Holy Ghost baptism. 3 steps to salvation. There is no 3 steps to dead raising book in there, boys.
No.
There just ain't one there. And I don't know how many steps it takes, but here's what we did. Walk in that hut, and I look, and there's a dead boy laying there, stiff, whiter than I am. Stiff. And there's a mama. This is what got me, was the mama holding that baby and rocking on her knees, screaming. And when she looked up at me, that was it. My facade was gone. I'm crying with her now. And she moved out of the way, and I went over there and knelt down on that baby boy. And his head's right here. And I felt all over him for a pulse and listened with my ears and everything. But his arms are froze still. And I got my left hand on his head, right hand on his hand over here, start praying in tongues. Kalabai halabese, Jesus, help! Help me, Jesus! Help, Jesus. Kept praying. All of a sudden, that little boy's t-shirt bounced. And I saw it, and the daddy saw it. Our eyes got that big. The witch doctor, he was there chanting, he never saw it. Catholic reciter sitting there doing his thing with the holy water, he never saw it. All them other witches in there never saw it. But me and the daddy saw it. And after a few minutes, that little boy's color came back in his arms and legs, dark, almost black. He warmed up and became limber again. He looked up there at me, and I'm going, wow, it works! It works! It really, really works! Woo! Man! And since then, well, let me tell you this first. So I scooped him up, because I didn't know whose kid he was now. So I brought him over. I remembered in my, those verses flooded my mind, where that Jesus, every time he raised somebody from the dead, he brought them back to the mama and said, give them something to eat. So I thought, that's probably the right thing to do, since Jesus said do it.
Amen.
So I brought him over there, gave him to her alive, said, mama, here's your baby boy raised from the dead by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And now she's weeping, but she's smiling. And I'm backing out of there, amazed. That boy had been dead about 4 hours. Amazed. We've had now way over 100. It's 100 and, I don't know, it's way over 100 dead patients now in our work. Every age. Old, young, babies, grandpas, grandmas. As much as 2 days old. Dead. But Jesus raises them from the dead. This just happened. I just got a call 2 days, 3 days ago now. 3 days ago. This just happened. They called me and told me so I could tell you about it. This woman had the cholera. That's a plague that's hit Mexico. It's really rampant. I'll tell y'all some more about it later. Thousands upon thousands of deaths. Not one of our Christians has died with it. That's a testimony. And this old lady, grandma again. One of them grandmas get a lot of stuff, don't they? She got the cholera. Her husband's a black magic warlock. He won't help her. Her kin folks are against her. They're Catholic. She's born again. She's one of our sisters. She called the pastor over. Pastor goes over, lays hands on her, dies. She died. She got in prayer and died. So the husband is mad now. He's going to kill everybody after we bury grandma here. We're going to kill all you Christians. So they take care of her. They've taken her to burial. I've heard this story in the Bible somewhere before.
Yeah.
They're taken to the burial. She rises up on that cot from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Healed of the cholera.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's just where it started. They set the cot down. The husband, all the bears, got born again right there. Man, oh man, what a God. What a God. If you just dare to do it His way, and not the worldly religious way, God will move for you. God will move for you. You can have the power and miracles. You can have the souls if you do it God's way. Would y'all stand up, please?